and hopefully the ones is tuning in on YouTube. Let's go ahead, and the ones who stand, let's stand and turn our hymn books to page 2. Glory to His name. Page 2. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down with cleansing from sin I tried. Dead to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious mountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at our Savior's feet. Plunge Him today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen. Brother Richie, do you mind up with some prayer this morning? Y'all may be seated. All right, let's turn to 246, Redeemed. Page 246.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child is forever I am. Redeemed, 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 redeemed by the Son of the Lamb. Redeemed, 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 redeemed. His child is forever I am. Redeemed, I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me continually dwells. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, 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 His child forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, blood of the Lamb, redeeming, redeeming, His child forever I am. And though I shall see in His beauty the King of whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me strong in the night. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child forever I am. Amen.
Blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for Sunday. Amen. Every morning or every Sunday morning I call and I talk to Jonathan, our oldest son, and pray with him. And as I begin the prayer every Sunday, I always thank the Lord for the fact that we get to come to His house today. Amen. I tell you, I'm thankful. I know the rest of the world is looking to every direction but the Lord, and I'm thankful that His children can still come, and I am His child forever I am. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. I do want to thank the Lord for the visitors we have, and also with that, I'm thankful for the safety that He's given us. Amen. It's good to have visitors. We've got some home folks out that are, Brother Sutton is traveling back from Vegas today. Say, preacher, what in the world was he doing at Vegas? Well, I told him not to gamble. Amen. But he's not. Amen. And he had to go out on a business trip. And so do pray for his safety as he's flying back. And then, of course, they will not be here for a few weeks with us. But do pray for the family, and we'll keep you posted how everything's going. Because we are trying to take care of each other. Amen. And I'll be honest, I believe some that are in leadership positions making some of the decisions that they're throwing out there, they got their degree from the same place I did when I was a kid, right out of the Cracker Jack box. Amen. And some of the ideas that they have and some of the things, I guarantee you, someone sitting back going, man, I'm thankful that they made mask mandated to where I can make a lot of money. I'm just being honest. Someone's making a killing off of it. And yet I've watched them, the bad guys always put their bandana over in the Westerns where obviously there's COVID back then too. Amen. I don't know. But I'm thankful for the fact that God's the one that's going to keep us safe. Be wise. Do what we need to do. And with that, I appreciate everyone coming in. I apologize once again. We've got some that didn't know we had strings and some that are used to the strings. But I'm trying to do everything I can to legally what we're supposed to do. And we need to be wise with it as well. And do ask you to keep the Weaver babies in prayer. Pray for Riley and Hunter that they will come to that place where they don't have the baby snot and cough. Amen. And so keep them in prayer. And, of course, the families, they're live with us today on YouTube. And we do have new data. And I noticed this morning, of all days for an app to update, it's Sunday morning. And I didn't know it updated until, I got ready to turn it on. And then I'm going, oh, great, I don't remember everything. So I had it to the point that the old format I knew, but this one I have to learn again. So anyway, praise the Lord. Promote it. Let others know about our YouTube page. It'd be nice to just push a single button, not have to go through a third party, and go live. So I encourage you, promote that. I did get a message this morning from Brother Ed there in the Philippines. He, of course, they've already had their Sunday morning service. He sent me a picture last week and showed me their sanctuary or what they're using as a sanctuary. And it was so full, everyone in masks and everyone doing what they can do. He told me last week, he said, preacher, this isn't all the people that wanted to come. And this week it's even more full. And yet he said there's still people outside wanting to come in. And boy, I'm thankful for that. You pray for them. They need a building. They need a building. And so do keep them in prayer. I told him I'll be in prayer for him. And so you do pray for him as well. Amen. Well, today is Brother Mitchell's birthday, but Brother Mitchell is not with us. Pray for his safety. That boy goes to Walmart. That's where he works, is Pepsi distribution for Walmart. And so you want to talk about around the virus and around potential. So you pray for his safety. But Brother and Sister Duke are going to have an anniversary coming up Tuesday, Brother. Tuesday. Amen. And he paid his preacher extra so that he could make sure that, remind him about that. Amen. But let's sing happy anniversary to them. And it sure is a blessing to be here today. All right, here we go. Happy anniversary to y'all. Happy anniversary to y'all. Happy anniversary. God bless y'all. Happy anniversary to y'all. Amen, brother. You got a song for us?
Well, I'm looking for one, brother.
One more.
Give me just a second here. I'm trying to get something to the congregation. We'll be able to sing. But a little bit of Thank You, Lord song in here. But anyway, some of these songs are really difficult for them to sing.
The old story would be good, brother. They know
that's
it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, they know it. Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
I know we don't have our choir up here just because of space, but we do have some choir books there for those that are in the choir. And those that aren't, this is probably a familiar song to most, so you can join in.
Down in the back. Of course, I get up, I'm all right.
That's right.
Everybody, turn your song books, your choir books, to page number 76. Page 76. The old story will never grow old. I'm glad I heard that old story. And God pricked my heart and convicted me of my sin and told me the old story. Amen. Here we go. Everybody got it? Page number 76. The old story. Here we go. I went to church one lonely night, and I sat way back, for my soul was upright. The preacher was preaching how Jesus died for a sin-filled world. He gave up his life. Oh no, the old story will never grow. How Jesus died to save our souls. Pardon me there, He lifted my burden, brought peace to my soul. What made my life sweet was sorry for. Oh no, your story will never go. How Jesus died to save our soul. Oh no, your story will never go. That story will never go. Last verse. Me. I forgot my glasses, left them at the pew. And I'm having this is a fine friend. I'm having trouble with it. Here we go.
Many years have passed by since I missed the Lord. And I remember that night when the story was told. I had no hope on the message it brings. That story is old, but still blesses me. Oh no, no story will never go. Jesus died to save our souls. Oh no, your story will never go. That story will never go. That story will never go.
Let's stand and turn to page 364, standing on the promises.
Amen. Amen. I don't think it's legal to sit on this one.
Nope. Standing on the promises, page 364.
standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally from the strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen.
Maybe see. Amen. Well, it sure is good to be here. I tell you, I'm excited. I know we've been discussing revival, been discussing everything going on. And, you know, we don't have to wait for a special meeting to have a revival. The same message, the same Word of God, the same Spirit of God desires to start right now. And you don't have to wait for someone to come in, some special evangelist, anything like that. We just need the special Holy Spirit. Amen. The only revival, I was just happened to think about Ezekiel. I'm sorry, Jacob, I'll get it on. I was just thinking about Ezekiel the other day after we had discussed it Wednesday night, and you realize that man can try to bring things together. Man can try to put everything in place, and we know the orders. We've got it down. And I know some would say, "Well, preacher, this isn't the normal services," and it's not. It's not our normal services. It's not the way that we were doing things this time last year. But may I tell you that there's one thing that has not changed. We might not come up here to the choir loft, but praise the Lord, it's the same Spirit of God that we're seeking to worship, and the same God that's in heaven that we are going to worship, and the same Word of God that we are going to preach, and the same God has the same desires now as He did last year. Amen. And so I'm just going to rejoice in Him. And this week, or this whole month, actually, we're going to look at the Christmas message. Now, I know you're going to say, "Preacher, this is I've heard this. I mean, how old am I? We've all known this. Everyone right now is crazy about Christmas." But I want to preach it in a different way. I want us to dig a little bit deeper. Because I'm afraid that our lost world, their idea of Christmas isn't God's idea of Christmas. And so Luke chapter number 2, we're going to look at this, and I know you're going to say, "Preacher, it's going to be old by the time we get done with 8 services of this message in Luke chapter 2. I don't know that I'll ever get tired of the Bible. I can get any part of it and go over it and chew it. And every time I come back across it, God reveals something different to me, something new to me, something that I can understand and chew on a little bit more. Sometimes it's just reminding me of how good He is. Sometimes it's just the fact that I need to be reminded that He hasn't given up on me." And so Luke chapter number 2, when you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word.
We're going to look at the first seven verses today, and we'll get started here. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." Verse number 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And if I may interject right here, that's not the reason he went. The reason he went, we'll look at next week when we see the promise of God's redemption. We'll understand that he went there because God said that's where the Messiah was going to be born. Amen? And we look here at verse number 5. He says, "To be taxed with Mary as his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Father, it is great to come to Your house. It is great to sing the songs. And Lord, I know that there's many out there today that are they would sing what we like to call Christmas songs. But Lord, truly, we just sang them today. And Lord, because it's all about You. And Father, we didn't come here so that we could be recognized for who we are or what we've done. Instead, Lord, we've came here to recognize You and worship You. And Father, help us today. I pray for each and every individual heart that's here. Lord, I don't know, maybe there's one in service today. Maybe there's some that's online with us, Lord, that they've never trusted You as their Savior. Lord, I pray that You would reveal their need today before it's everlasting too late. As well, Lord, I pray that You would encourage and Father, that You would just remind us, Lord, of how great You are. And Lord, that we would have a fresh view. Lord, that You would revive us again. Right now, revive Your work, Lord. And Father, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this time and this time of year, and everyone's enjoying Christmas, and boy, everyone's just going crazy with it, and the stores are already a madhouse. We had drove into Savannah, Sarah, of course, going to the chiropractor. We had to go back Friday, and she was there, and we're waiting, and boy, we had to drive through Savannah, and we didn't go to any stores, but you could just look out at the parking lots and see everything's full, and everything's going, and you know, it's all about spending the dollar, and we think of all the reasons that everyone's excited. And I told you last week that the highest suicide rate in the world is after the holiday season. It's after Christmas. It's after New Year's. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Because they don't really know the real joy that we can know. You see, there's many that are excited about it, but look at the reasons. Well, maybe it's because of the presents. There's no one in here that doesn't like a present. I'm serious. There's no one in here that doesn't like a present. If I was to give Brother Richard a quality pen, he'd go, "Boy, that's a quality pen. He doesn't like these?" Yeah, well, that's why I said Brother Richard. Amen. Amen. And Brother Richard would like this. He would appreciate this. Amen. Some people just aren't grateful for anything. But no, I mean, honestly, don't we love, I mean, just something small even. Hey, I'm telling you, I remember when I used to like to get mail. You say, "Preacher, when was that?" Before they were bills. Amen. You know, you send a child a card, boy, they think that the president just sent them something. In fact, someone more important than the president. Someone that knew them and cared about them. You understand what I'm saying? And there's people that are excited because of the Christmas season, and they've got all this anticipation of what am I going to get out of it. I remember, I was a child, I remember back when Sears and Roebuck and Montgomery Ward, and now some of you are going, "Montgomery Ward," they were catalogs. You know, before the internet, you had to, you know, you'd circle that wish list. You know what I'm talking about? And you'd, you'd ear tab the page so that when mom and dad might pick it up, they'd be able to know where you'd been looking. And then they look down the page and they obviously know where you've been looking. You circled that. I don't know how that got there. Amen. Maybe it's even because of family. You know, I enjoy the time that we have as a family all the time. And sometimes it's just the opportunity. Thanksgiving Day, John came over and we spent the day out there, and we rode go-kart, we shot bows, we just had a good time. And so there's some people that are excited about this season and Christmas because of, well, family. Maybe there's some that would even be excited because of time off. Lizzie, you get Christmas break off. Michaela, you get Christmas break. I mean, there's some that are going, you guys get Christmas break off. Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it? Preacher's not telling you don't like school, all right? I'm just saying it's good to have some time off. All right, it's good to have some time off. Hey, I'd be all right. And I remember, when you got out of school and you went and you worked a job and you're going, you mean I don't get that time off? You get one day. I was thinking about the post office. Christmas this year falls on a Friday. They'll work Thursday and they'll work Saturday. Amen. Why? Because everyone wants their mail. And so maybe you're excited because of time off, but may I tell you that's all going to run out? But I'm afraid that so many are confused about the joy that can have. May I encourage you this year is just to remember how good, how great our God really is. Maybe we could take this time and we would see how great God really is. And we would see everything. Now listen, we have a God that sees from the end to the beginning. Alright? He doesn't see it. COVID didn't take Him off guard. He knew that this was coming. He hasn't been surprised when Biden won the election. He's not caught off. He wasn't surprised when America had decided that the homosexuals could have a movement. And we would vote that there could be same-sex marriage and legalize it. He's not caught off guard when there's states that are saying that drugs are okay. He's not caught off guard on any of this. What are you getting at, preacher? Because He saw it all the way from the beginning. Well, really, He saw it all the way from the end. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. And so, as we consider the joy of this, there's many that focus on the birth. May I remind you that the birth is just the way He came, not the reason He came? It's not the reason at all. Hold your place here in the book of Luke, and I want you to turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians, chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 5. Philippians 2 and verse number 5. I don't care if you like it or don't like it, but Jesus was not born on December 25th. That is not His birth. That's when it's recognized. I'm not going to chase the Christmas rabbit right now, but it came in years ago when a whole lot of other corruption came into the church. And we've accepted it and we've said, well, this is what it is. But there's no place in Scripture that it ever says to remember His birth. But there's a whole lot of place that tells us to remember His death and the burial and the resurrection. Why? Because His birth is how He came. The death, burial, and resurrection is the reason He came. And so we look here at Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Notice this. But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. May I tell you that He was not made in Bethlehem. He had always been. He always has been. God became in the flesh. Understand this. At Bethlehem, He didn't quit being God. He didn't just start being God. He's always been God. But He came here for us. And He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because He is God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is just as much God as God the Father. The Holy Spirit, whose Spirit is it? It's God's Spirit. Because He is God. And He dwells within us. And so we find here in verse number 8, He says, and being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. May I tell you that this was all part of God's plan? May I tell you that God even knew how many people would get sidetracked in Christmas and never even look towards resurrection? I hate calling it Easter Sunday. I call it Resurrection Sunday. I just do. You see, it's sad that we think that the reason He came is so that we could have some lights on a tree, when the reason He came is so that we could have life in Him. And so, this is all part of God's plan. You say, well, preacher, why would He do this? Well, He did it all for me. He did it all for me. Back over in our text in the book of Luke, and I had showed you Wednesday night there in on our prayer list, I put this verse down, but in Luke chapter number 2, I want you to skip on down to verse number 11. I haven't gotten over this. I like it. I like it. And it would do you some good to not get over it. In Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 11, He says, "For unto you..." We could stop right there. I like that part. "For unto you..." This is the reason He came. "Unto you is born..." I look at Isaiah chapter number 9. Now don't turn there, but Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6, He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." You understand that the reason that He came is unto us. The gospel wasn't for the angels. Jesus didn't come to redeem the angels. Jesus didn't come to redeem, and I don't get mad at me, your animals. Amen. They don't have a soul. He didn't come for the animals. He came for His creation. You say, well, preacher, I'm really not that bad of a person. That's what you think. I'm not trying to be ugly, but we've got a problem today. And our problem isn't that we need a stimulus check. Our problem isn't that we need someone to figure out a vaccine. Our problem isn't the fact that we need someone to give us some marriage counseling. Our problem all comes back to sin. And that's the whole problem that America has. No, that's the whole problem the world has. I was talking to Brother Danny on I guess it was Friday. I called Brother Danny and was talking with him. And we were discussing all of this. And I understand that what's going on today is not an American problem. It's a world problem. Why would God send this to the world? May I tell you, He sent it to the church. I'm still a firm believer. It's the time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to come back and humble themselves and come back and seek His face. Come back and pray and come back and turn from their wicked ways. It's the church's awakening that we need. Amen. It'd do us good to have revival today. You say, preacher, why would He come for us? Well, the same reason He came for Adam and Eve. Hold your place in Luke 2, but I'd like to use this passage as a springboard. I don't preach a whole lot of topical messages, but God had laid this on my heart probably about a month ago, and has just really been developing it in my heart to preach it. In Genesis chapter number 3, I'm not going to start in verse number 1. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. I encourage you, if you're not familiar with it, go back and read it. But we know here where the serpent, Satan, has taken on the form of the serpent. He's not really a serpent. He's taken on the form of a serpent. And he's came and he's deceived Eve. He's told her that, you know, he's trying to say that God said something that He didn't say. And she's not really sound where she is, like a lot of people that say that they're His child. And she looks and sees that it's good for food, and she takes it and she gives it to her husband. And this is where I want us to pick up in Genesis chapter 3. I want you to look at verse number 5. Verse number 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." May I tell you, they already knew good. Why do you need to know evil? You'll never know all the ways of evil, but you can know the only way of good. Amen? Then he goes on and he says in verse number 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said in verse number 11, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? If I could, this whole month I want to preach about the redemption, because that's really what we're redeemed. Amen? Brother Russell, I didn't tell you to sing. I didn't tell you what to sing. I didn't tell Brother James, granted he had came across the old story. I've never gotten over the old story. Hey man, you say, preacher, that's not really much of a Christmas message. We need a Christmas cantata. I'm telling you, you ought to be able to pick up that hymn book and have any kind of a Christmas cantata you want. Hey man, because it's all about being redeemed. And so I'd like to preach, if I could, today's message is the plan of redemption. May I tell you, in the Garden of Eden, God already knew that Bethlehem, there was going to be a manger. There was going to be a babe born that wasn't just a babe, but He was going to come. And so if I could today, I'd like us to look at this. We find the plan of redemption. First of all, we find that it was to prove His love. It was to prove His love. Why did He redeem us? Why did He come and pay that price? It's to prove His love. Oh, it makes me so upset when I hear people say, when there's a tragedy or some kind of catastrophe that goes on, and they say, if there was a God, or if God loved, or God wouldn't do that, if He truly loved us, I'm telling you, we don't understand. We can't fathom the love of God. And so I look here, and it's to prove His love. Notice this. His love responded to their depravity. May I tell you that when God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect. You say, preacher, you mean they were without sin? Yeah, at that time, they were without sin. God created them exactly the way that they were supposed to be. He didn't mess anything up. Because my God doesn't mess anything up. Jacob always gives me credit for being OCD, and we had a great discussion about it. I don't believe I'm OCD. You say, preacher, I know you. You're OCD. I don't believe I'm OCD. I believe I'm a perfectionist. I know you're going to go, that's kind of a fine line. No, Jacob's definition of OCD is I take more steps than I need to. I just want the end result to be the right result. You know what we need to be as a child of God? It's time for us to start being perfectionists. I know you're going to say, well, preacher, you know, I'm just a sinner. No, hold on a second. The Bible tells me that I'm not under the dominion of sin anymore. It tells me that I'm saved from sin. And so, if I'm saved from sin, may I tell you, I can start being a perfectionist and I can see some flaws in my life and I can go, I don't need those there. I'm afraid that we've got to this idea that, well, you know, He loved me where I was and so I can stay there. Now, that's not really what I'm preaching today, but may I tell you, that's a false doctrine. He saved me to change me, to be in His image. Amen. And so I look here that it responded to their depravity. God breathed life into a known sinner. You say, I thought you just said that they were perfect. Yeah, but He knew that they were going to sin. You know one thing I've never understood? I've never understood how God, knowing the price that salvation was going to cost, ever breathed life into Adam. That's a deeper love than we can fathom. Now, I know you say, well, preacher, I mean, God made him exactly. No, I told you, God sees from the end to the beginning. He knows everything. And He knew before He ever went, that He was going to come to the cross and die. He knew that. And yet He did it for a sinner. Why? It's to prove His love. We think of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, what's the verse that everyone knows? He said, "Preacher, what's that?" John 3:16. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." That's not talking about His physical creation here. No, He's talking about mankind. "For God so loved the world." He didn't come to save the trees. He didn't come to make sure that the grass was going to be okay. No, He came to make sure we were going to have a salvation. That we had a Savior. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, the whole reason or the whole plan of redemption, well, the plan shows His love. It's to prove His love. You see, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. How many times have you ever known exactly what you're doing? I believe Jeremiah is 5 years old. And you know that you're going to be in trouble when you do something that mom and dad said don't do, don't you? Maybe. It doesn't take a very old child. In fact, I guarantee you, Evelyn's 3 or 4. 3. It doesn't take Evelyn very long to know that when mom or dad or when grandma and grandpa or whoever tells her not to do something, that she knows. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because they hide it. It's the exact same thing that Adam and Eve did, was it not? They knew they were wrong. Uh-oh. Now we're wrong with the Lord. I've shared with you before, witness to a man, went up to his house, outside doing yard work, had him a little bitty cooler over here by the bush. I didn't even notice the cooler. And didn't have a clue what was in it. I didn't ask him for a bottle of water or nothing. And I went up there and I'm talking with him. And as soon as he finds out that I'm the preacher, that he takes his foot and he hides that cooler behind the bush. He said, "Preacher, why is that?" I didn't say a word. I didn't even ask him after he did it. He already knew. You see, we already know too, don't we? Of course, the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I know I was picking on Evelyn and Jeremiah, and we could pick on Tara and all the children in here. Doesn't matter how old. We know that we've fallen short. It's amazing how young we are when we know it, and it's amazing how old we are before we'll ever admit it. You see, He loved us in spite of us. Isn't that great? Listen, we want to rejoice over the manger and a babe coming. He came here so that He could redeem us because He knew how awful we really were. And so I find that His love responded to their depravity because they needed a Savior, but I find that His love reached to their despair. You know, I'm reminded here of Adam and Eve and what they did. May I tell you how many times our boys, all three of them, from the oldest to the youngest, when they would do something wrong, and they would try to cover it up, and they would hide it, maybe even throw it in the abyss, to where it would never be found. But, you know, it's funny, it's always found. I remember growing up, I was always told, "You do not throw a ball in the house." It's pretty good advice. But you know what I did? Well, I had some friends over, and we weren't really throwing it, brother. We were tossing it. And Mom had the piano there, and she had a little figurine right there. And you know the story, don't you? Probably happened to something like you. And, well, I don't remember if it was me or if it was one of my buddies, but that figurine came down. And on the way down, it hit the piano. It did not shatter that figurine. It just took his hand from this to this. He still had a hand. He just didn't have any fingers. Say, "Preacher, what'd you do?" I did what every good boy does. I swept up the evidence and I put the figurine back. How long will it be before they ever notice? it wasn't long enough. May I tell you that Adam and Eve went to every effort they could of their own. They went to every extent possible. They recognized their condition. They went and they sowed fig leaves. Who in the world had taught them to sow fig leaves? I want us to understand this for a minute. How deep do we need to go? Where did they ever learn this? Isn't it amazing? Now, I know the Bible. I know you're going to say, preacher, you're reading into this. I know the Bible doesn't tell us. But it's funny, that old serpent was still there. How many times does Satan tell us it'll be okay? If you do this, it'll be acceptable. If you do this, God will never know. May I tell you, it's the same lies that He's telling people today. It's the very same thing that He's telling them today. He said, you don't need to trust completely in Him. You need to join a church. You need to be baptized. You need to just work back. Just turn over a new leaf. None of those will help. The leaves didn't help Adam and Eve, did they? And so we find here that He reached to their despair. He came where they fell short. You see, they couldn't do anything. They were there. Those leaves didn't restore them back. Every effort that they had didn't restore them back. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? God went to where they were. I'm reminded of Jacob. As Jacob had fled from there from the land of Canaan, he's headed to Paddan Aram to be with his uncle Laban. And he has a dream in Genesis chapter number 28. He stops there at Bethel, the house of God, and he meets up with God. Actually, God meets up with him. And he has this dream. In Genesis 28 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." You say, preacher, what's that have to do with anything? Oh, I'm thankful that the ladder was set up on earth, and it went all the way to heaven. You see, because if it was set up on heaven, and it came down here close to earth, we could never get there. In John chapter number 1, we find that in John 1, at the very end of John 1, it tells us that the Son of God, it's speaking about Jesus, is that ladder. He's that one that the angels are ascending and descending on. He's the one that's been set up on this earth so that we can go to heaven.
Amen.
Oh, I'm thankful that He came where we fell short. I'm telling you, this is all God's plan. He already knew what a sorry rascal old Adam was going to be. And He already knew what a sorry worm we were going to be. And so I find that the plan of redemption isn't just to prove His love. I find that it's to present His light. It's to present His light. You say, preacher, where do you get that? Look back over at Genesis chapter number 3. Look at verse number 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." In the cool of the day. Huh. May I tell you, it's to present His light so that we can disclose, it will disclose our sin. It was in the day that they had to hide. It's in the light that you find no shadow to hide. You see, there's an importance here. Now, I don't know that you need to hold in Genesis, but go over to the book of John, chapter number 3. There's an importance here that we have because God's walking in the cool of the day. May I tell you, it's the very same today. As I had mentioned just a moment ago, they can't hide. You know what's wrong. You know when you've done wrong against the Lord. That individual that I was witnessing to, I guarantee you, his religion tells him that that habit is okay. You say, preacher, what religion was he? Self.
Yeah.
It's the religion of the world, is self. It doesn't matter what church he'd go to. It was a religion of self. Anything that self does, it's accepted. And it's self-worship and self-pride. It's the very reason that Satan fell, is it not?
Yeah.
That I will lift up my throne. I will be exalted. And so, it's one thing when your sin's actually laid out there. You know that's what the light does? Why was he in the day? Well, he didn't show up not knowing. Hold on a second. So many times we think that God doesn't see unless it's in the day. No, no, no. I showed you last week that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees everything. He doesn't need the daytime. No, we need the daytime. We need the light. I'm thankful we have the light of the gospel to know how we need to walk. Or the light of the Bible, so that we know the Word of God is our light, that we know how to walk. Amen? The light of the gospel that shows us how we need to be saved, how we can have life. And the light of the Word shows us how to live. Amen? And I know some are saying, well, preacher, I just don't think it's that necessary. I go to church, I do all of this. No, 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 no. It's not about us. He's trying to bring us to Him. And so it's to disclose. I'd like to give you the definition here before we look at John 3 and verse number 17. The word disclose means make secret or new information known. Allow something to be seen, especially by uncovering it. May I tell you before we get in here that your sin will find you out. Just as I said with that little figurine, how long till they noticed it wasn't long enough? I was still at home. It wasn't long enough. They were still living. It wasn't long enough. You understand? That it doesn't matter how long you're able to cover it up. It's going to be brought to light. In John chapter number 3, look at verse number 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And look at the condemnation in verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know why so many people won't come? Because they don't want to be told that they're wrong. That their sin is what separates you from God. In verse number 21, the Bible says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. One thing that I've always said is there should be no difference at church or at home. Should be no difference at church or at work. Should be no difference at church or at the ball game. Should be no church or difference at church and anywhere else. If you've got to put on a scene when you come into the light, then there's something wrong with the darkness that you're wanting to be around. You see, it's sad to me that the Bible says that the ones that are living for Him, the ones that are in the truth, don't mind the light. You say, preacher, are you perfect? Absolutely not. But I'm thankful for the light that reveals the areas that God wants to work in. Every one of us have an area that God's wanting to work in. He's wanting to continue to mold that clay. Squeeze that clay. Get all the impurities out. Aren't you glad that He hasn't given up? Amen. Aren't you glad that the light's still there? And so I look here and I find this light and I look that it's to disclose our sin, and then I find that it's to discover our Savior. You say, preacher, where do you see that? Well, God didn't hide Himself. He came walking in the middle of the day, or the cool of the day. He came in the daylight. He wasn't trying to hide from that. He wasn't looking around the corner seeing if He could catch them doing something. May I tell you that you'll never come to the Savior until you see yourself first as sinner? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The problem is we need more people to get lost. And so I look here and I find that there's the light that He's given as a Savior so that we can see Him as Savior. You say, preacher, is He the light? Absolutely, He said He was. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, listen. We need to be able to see Him. I'm thankful that gospel light's still shining today. I'm thankful that the very way I got saved all those years ago is the same way that anyone's going to get saved today. Haven't needed a new Bible. Amen. We don't need a new Bible. Why? We don't have a new gospel. I don't have a new God. That's His Word. The only reason I would think that you'd need to change the Bible is if you have a new God. Don't get mad at the preacher. It's amazing to me that so many people want to change it to be what they want it to be, but what we need is the light to see Him as Savior. May I tell you that when you see Him as Savior, you'll see Him as Lord? He'll be the one you want to live for. Oh, wait, hold up. It's His light that we're following. Is that not what He said? That we'll have no more darkness? The book of Ephesians teaches us that we're children of the light. That we shouldn't walk in the darkness that we used to walk in. And so I look here and I find Him as Savior. I'm reminded of the we always call them the wise men, the magi, that had came there in Matthew chapter number 2. And by the way, Jesus was not still in the manger. He was about 2 years old due to Scripture and the fact that Herod had went and killed the children 2 and under. But we do know that they went to the house. They didn't go to the manger. But in Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 9, the Bible tells us that when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Isn't that great? Listen, the light's still shining today. You know how many people need to be saved? Every one of them that's lost. You know God's desire is for them to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know why the light still shines today? Because there's still souls that need to be saved. There's still some sinner out there that needs to see Him as Savior. And He still shines that light. He's still the only light that they can come to and receive life. You know what we're supposed to be? Isn't it amazing that we teach our children? I know you say, preacher, we don't have the buses running right now. We don't have Sunday school. We don't have the children's church. We don't have this. We don't have that. No, hold on a second. I still have light. And we might not have it in the children's church and in the Sunday school classes where we're teaching them to hold up their finger and speak about being a light. But I'm telling you, that gospel light, that Savior light should still shine in my life that I can lead others to Him. Not to me. It's not to the church. And listen, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have a church that's going to preach the truth. I'm thankful to be able to come and have a place of worship. But what's going to happen when we don't? We still have light. We still have a Savior that they need to see. I think of our missionaries. We've got some in some very, very dangerous areas. And if they were found as a missionary, they would be executed. You know what they're doing? They don't have a Sunday service like this. Preacher gets up and spits and snorts and hollers. They don't have that. But they still have a gospel light. Why? Because the Savior's still the light. They're still shining that light. I think about the brother Camille that we support there in Egypt, a national Egyptian that started a church in Egypt. Preaching the Word of God. So I look here. I find the plan of redemption. It's to prove His love. It's to provide proclaim the light. But it's to provide Himself a lamb. What's God's plan? To provide Himself a lamb. Why did Jesus come? To provide Himself a lamb. I'm reminded of the purity of the lamb. May I tell you that not any lamb will do. Not just any lamb will be all right. I get so sick and tired of someone telling me that they believe in the same God and they have the same Savior I do, and something doesn't line up. Something's not right. And yet I find that God still believes in purity. May I tell you why? Because the lamb had to be accepted. I'm reminded over in Genesis chapter number 3 there with Adam and Eve and how they had came and their situation that they're in. The fig leaves wouldn't work. And so in verse number 21, the Bible tells us unto Adam and also to Eve, or to his wife, that God made coats of skins and clothed them. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, he couldn't go to that little lamb that would not have been the right one and tried to clothe them with it. He had to pick out the right one. Oh, by the way, it's the exact same way as our Savior. I'm reminded of Abraham. and Isaac, headed up to Mount Moriah. God showed them the place to go. Isn't that great? God said, look, I'm going to show you that place. And when Abraham had lifted up his eyes, he saw the place that God told him to go. And then in chapter number 22 of the book of Genesis, in verse number 8, we find where Isaac had asked him about the lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham responded, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And Abraham had taken Isaac, laid him there on that altar that was made, had the wood ready to go, was ready to kill his son to be that sacrifice. And the angel of God had stopped him and told him, no, now I know that thou lovest me. In verse number 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I said, preacher, what are you getting at? I want you to think of this. I just read verse number 13 of Genesis 22. The Bible tells us that the ram was behind him. Now, I know some of you are going to go, preacher, I just don't think that that's very significant. As I was studying for this sermon and I came across this verse, God just kind of put that in my head. He walked past him already. He was already there. That ram was already there waiting. May I tell you, that's the exact same way. Listen, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. But you know what? He's there? He's there waiting for us to see Him as that sacrifice. I think about John the Baptist in John chapter number 1 and verse number 29. Behold, the Lamb of God. It's not just the fact that He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. Woo! I'm telling you, that's worth shouting about. That's the fact that I'm not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. But I'm redeemed with the precious blood. Why is it so precious? Because of the purity. It wasn't man. It was God. I know you're going to say, preacher, He was man. He was. He was 100% man. But He didn't have the sin of man. Because He's not the seed of man. He's the seed of woman. And so I find the propitiation. Not just the purity of the Lamb, but the propitiation of the Lamb. I know you're going to go, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Take your Bibles, turn over the book of Romans, chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. I want you to look at verse number 23. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23. Romans 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about the plan of redemption today. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let me give you the definition of propitiation. It means the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage His wrath and to render Him propitious to sinners. You say, preacher, what does all that mean? It just simply means that He took and He covered. No, hold on. He didn't just cover, He cleansed. He seals. He covers completely. He covers me with His righteousness. Listen, He's imputed His righteousness on me. Why? Because He's the right Lamb. Why did He come? Because I needed a Savior. I didn't need a babe in the manger. Oh, by the way, you ever think about this? He came to provide Himself a Lamb. Where was He born? Where the lambs are. Whoo! Aren't you glad that He didn't go to a king's palace where we couldn't come to Him? But instead He came to a common place where the common people, just old sinners, can come and see the Lamb of God. But not just see Him, receive Him as that sacrificial Lamb that He died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. My dear friend, you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. I think I'm going to go to heaven. I hope I'm going to go to heaven." Listen to me, I beg you. I know we're in the middle of COVID, but praise God, eternity's a far lot worse without Savior than COVID is here. Amen. You're here today. You need to be saved. That's the greatest need that you have in your life. You don't know for sure. You don't have to leave that way. You can know without a shadow of a doubt. Aren't you glad? Listen, I don't have to hope. I can know that I'm saved. And you can too. You're here and you say, "Preacher, I just haven't really been rejoicing that much in it." I have a reason to rejoice. God knew of me all those years ago. When Adam and Eve had sinned, He already knew that He was sending me a Redeemer 2,000 years ago. Isn't that great? I know this world's saying, "Boy, I'm thankful for all of the great things that are taking place. The presents, the prizes, the family, the time off." They're excited. And they like to call it happy holidays. You ever notice when you tell someone Merry Christmas at a store, they don't even say Merry Christmas back, or most of them don't. They'll say, "Same to you." Amen. Same to you. You know what that means? They don't rejoice the reason I rejoice. I have a Redeemer because that was God's plan from the very beginning. A plan of redemption because this old worm needed to be redeemed. How about you today? Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. I thank You for Your grace. Lord, I'm thankful for that saving grace. But then, Lord, I'm thankful for that sufficient grace, that sustaining grace, Lord. I'm thankful, Father, how You loved us. And Lord, I know we've sang the song that when You was on the cross, I was on Your mind. But Father, truly, it was way before that. You came for me all the way from the beginning. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Lord, I pray You'd help us today. Maybe there's one on YouTube. Maybe there's one in the service today, Lord, that they've never received You as their Savior. Oh, Father, I pray they'd come to that saving grace today. And then, Lord, I pray for those that are. Lord, they're saved. They know that. They've just kind of lost their shout a little bit. Lord, maybe they're even a little bit discouraged of everything that's going on. Oh, Father, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful we have no reason in the world to be discouraged. Because You love us so. You proved that love all the way to Calvary. Lord, You provided the light so that we could see that we need to be saved. And then, Lord, You provided Yourself a Lamb. Lord, would You help us today? Take this invitation, use it to Your glory. I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. I encourage you. God spoke to your heart, and I know you say, "Preacher, I don't know if I want to come to the altar." That's fine. You can stay in your pew. But if you want to come to the altar, I'm serious. It's going to be all right. I can disinfect it afterwards. Sometimes it's just kind of good to come and rejoice in what God's doing.
Lord, I'm always in Your presence.
Say, "Preacher, I don't know what He's doing."
I cannot run from Your love.
You should be able to answer what He's doing in your heart.
And before me,
sure, we need a revival meeting. We need to spend some time just focusing on Him. But may I tell you, we need something far greater. We need to just have a willing heart and let Him work right now. Let Him have His way right now.
I can hide from Your Spirit, even if I wanted to, my Emmanuel.
You know without a shadow of a doubt, if you die right now, you're going to heaven.
Oh, Emmanuel.
You need to.
If I take the wings of the morning, I fall in
love. God spoke to your heart. Maybe you just want to pray. Be a good time. Be a good time.
If I ascend up to heaven, or make my bed below, I know Your hand will hold me wherever I may go.
thankful for a God that already knew
you,
died for you from the very beginning, loved you enough to breathe life into Adam. What a Savior.
Oh, Emmanuel, there's nowhere you won't be.
What a Savior.
If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me. How precious are your thoughts, oh God, they're always on me, more in numbers than